and he so was God. Now maybe I can explain it to say to this. There was a man called Garner Tedd, and Garner Tedd was with Armstrong, and Garner Tedd was Armstrong, and I'm Armstrong, and we're two people. Now the Word was not that kind of Son of God, because he had always been, if he was the Son of God, God would have to have existed first, and he would have to have been born. But he wasn't born. He had always existed. Your mind will grasp that. Your mind. But you have to accept it, because it's the only way. There had to be a beginning. And God was the beginning. And God created all things by the one that became Jesus Christ later, but was the Word of God. So first they created angels. There were millions of angels. And there was no matter. There was no earth. No material substance of any kind. There was just space. I wonder if you can understand that. And how many millions and millions and millions of years this went on, I don't know. Now, I know we built the finest auditorium on the face of the earth in Pasadena. But let me tell you something. Before a single bit of that auditorium was started in actual building and construction, there were 3 or 4 years of careful planning. And every tiny detail was worked out and on paper in plans and blueprints. Because the blueprints were made from your written plan. And when God finally got around to the actual production or creating, picked a different kind of animal, the different fish, just millions of different designs and everything, and everyone so perfectly worked out and designed and functioned, how long were they working all of that out way back there? Well, finally, God got around to some of the production. And so, what you read in the first chapter of Genesis in verse 1, in the beginning, God, which is Elohim, a unicorum, any more than one person, but one God. God is the family name. Armstrong is my family name. And Bernard Ted is only one of 4 children. I have begotten. Armstrong, except my 2 daughters. When they married, they started another family and took the name of that family from their husband, who was the father of that family. And so, God is a family, more than one person, but only one God. The family is God. And we have the opportunity to be born into that family. But now, when I say that, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit again. Let's go back. God created heaven, that's the whole physical universe, and the earth. So apparently they were all created at the same time. But the angels were there. And here was a solid round earth. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. And they shouted for joy. It was so beautiful. Now what God creates, he creates to be used. And he intends it to be preserved in its beauty and even added to. So the angels had that wonderful opportunity. Now all the rest of the vast universe was created. Now matter came into existence. And something was to be done with it. And to govern all that, God established his government over those angels. The government of God. And the government is based on the law of God. You cannot have a government without a law. And the law of God is a way of life. It's a way, if you live that way, it will cause peace. It will cause happiness. It will cause, in a physical sense, in the physical universe, prosperity and plenty. Now they were to work constructively and to add to it. And to add to its beauty and to preserve all of its beauty. But instead, they were. The most supreme being that God could possibly create was an archangel called Lucifer. there. They wanted more. They wanted to take everything and take it away from God. And so the government of God was wrecked and was unintended on this earth. But there was Lucifer, the archangel, on the throne, ruled. Now, perhaps he did rule and administer the government of God for a while. And I don't know whether that while was 15 days or 15 million years. I do know that as long as the government of God was administered, there was happiness and there was peace and joy on this earth. And everything was going along beautifully because they were living the way that was produced in contrast. But finally it was all right and came into a state of decay and darkness instead of light. And chaos instead of peace and order. And so God renewed the face of this earth in 6 days, as you find described in the first chapter of Genesis. Now, the only way that God could have beings that would do what he wanted done throughout the whole vast universe was to reproduce himself. Because the only possible being that existed or could exist that God could rely on, depend on, never to go the wrong way, it would cause unhappiness and take away the beauty. God was the only being that would not and therefore could not sin. And the only way that God could do it now, because if he created more and more angels and Lucifer was the supreme, he could create no one else. It's not possible to create anyone better than a perfect creation. He sealed up the sun of wisdom, perfection, and beauty. He was perfect in all his ways from the time he was created till iniquity was found in him. And God had no guarantee that any other being given the power of thought and reasoning and decision that he would not go the same or wrong way. God knew he would not, and he had to reproduce himself. Now, he could not do that out of spirit. He is spirit. But you see, spirit remains constant. It doesn't change. He had to make it out of beings that couldn't be changed, and especially if they went wrong and turned around and changed to go the right way. So he made us out of matter. We are made of clay, and he is the potter, and we are the clay. And he can form and shape us in his mood, and in his character, and in his way, if we will let him. But we have minds, and our minds work independently, and we can think, and we can make choices. Indeed, we have to make choices. And character cannot be instantly created by fiat. It just can't be. It has to be developed. And it takes time, and we have to have our part in it. And yet we have to do it by letting God put his love, his character, his righteousness in us. Because our own righteousness, and we do have people in this church who are very self-righteous, and they don't know the righteousness of God, and I know some of them personally. I'm not going to tell you who they are. But their righteousness is like filthy rags to God. And we have to be humble like a little child. And we have to surrender and yield to God. And that's the way we are made. Now Adam had his opportunity and he rejected it. And so God has now set a hands-off policy for 6,000 years, and that 6,000 years is about us. God has only dipped into this world, and this is still Satan's world. The former Lucifer is now Satan. And his former angels are now demons, and they're still here. And they have to still be here. God set Lucifer on the throne, and God's very system of law means that he cannot remove him until a successor has qualified and also been inducted into office. Now, Jesus Christ came and was tempted by Satan. Where Adam fell, the second Adam, Christ, succeeded, and he overcame Satan, and he qualified to replace Satan and for the purpose of restoring the government of God on this earth. Those people who went out a year and a half ago wanted to get away from the government of God, like Satan, they didn't want it. They said, we don't want any God or any man under God ruling over us.
God's whole purpose is to restore his government on this earth.
He took a bunch of slaves out of ancient Egypt. He took them over to Mount Sinai. And there he gave them a proposition. I read it to you a while ago. That's just precisely what he said to them. If you will walk in my way, if you will obey my covenant that I put in over you, then everything is going to go beautifully. He didn't come from the Holy Spirit, not yet. But he would have if they had obeyed. Well, they wanted to get everything he promised, so they said, sure, we'll do it. But they didn't need it. And they didn't do it. So God gave his covenant. The first time the people came to the promise that God had set over them, Samuel, and they said, we don't want God, we want a man to be our king like the other nations all around us. All that is to be Samuel. Well, we went to God about it. You read in the 8th chapter of 2 Samuel, and, or in the 1st Samuel, anyway, God said, let them have what they want. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, God, that I should not rule over them. They don't want me to rule them. They began to resent that kind of rule. God has put that rule in his church. And I want to tell you, brethren, that first, when the first church was first being organized, I wanted to be me. I didn't want to rule. And I let others run all over me, and it cost lives for all eternity. And I was rebuked pretty firmly by one or two men older than I, who said that God has put his government in the church, and he expects you to administer it, and you're going to be held to account. And I began to realize I had to do it. And the government of God is in this church. And it's the only place on the face of this earth where the government of God exists. And everything that God is doing has to do with restoring his government on this earth. That's what it's all about. That's why he called you towards getting the government of God established once again on this earth. That's why Christ is coming a second time. We get away from this basic truth, brethren, and we need to get back on it. And he wants the announcement made that man's government is coming back. The kingdom of God is coming. That is the gospel. And the gospel is being preached around the world and has been for 1,800 years. But that is the gospel. Now the first Adam failed. But God made his truth available and it's in his Bible. And now, those that God calls have an opportunity. Most people don't have any opportunity for salvation now any more than they did in ancient Israel. Jesus Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father drawing through the Holy Spirit of God. Most of the people that you see out on the street in the world, they may be better people than you are, I don't know. But I know one thing, if God hasn't called them, there's nothing they can do to this. They can't understand the things that God has in store for them. They don't, and they can't, and their minds won't open up to it. God has called us for a job to get done, and I'm doing that job, and I need you behind me. Sometimes I think that most of you just don't understand. I am to get that announcement out. Jesus Christ came, announcing the kingdom of God. This Malachi here, he said that he was coming. Notice Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel. What is the gospel of Christ? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, and it's the first verse of what I read to you in Malachi 3. And then it takes this as the first coming, so it starts talking about John the Baptist, who prepared the way before him coming then. John the Baptist was only a forerunner and a type of what this church is doing. Someday you're going to wake up, brethren, and realize that this was the work of the living God. And that we've taken it lightly, and we haven't been back of the book we love to be. And judgment is on us right now. Judgment is not on the rest of the world. But you and I are being judged, and you're being judged by how much you pray for the work. And how important is that in your life? Or is it that they keep him in bondage and then you decide? That's what it's all about. Now, I have to do a certain amount of rules. You all know I do it. Solomon says, in many councils, there's safety. So I counsel with others. I discuss it with others. I pray about it. I listen to others. I don't want to make a mistake. And I pray and I ask God if we make the right decision. And I try to do it in love. And out of concern and consideration for the others involved, not for me. I've made a mistake once or twice. I don't think many. God will never let me make a really fatal mistake. And he never will. But the job God called me to do is getting done through his power, not through mine. I'm in my 84th year now. But I'm only 37, going on 36. And the parts of that strength is in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the last three or four verses. Anyway, here's the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus. Then it comes, and when we come to the 13th, Jesus was there with the devil, but showed him the intention of the devil, and when he conquered the devil in that temptation, he qualified to administer the government of God. The kingdom of God and the government of God are not exactly the same thing. The kingdom of God is the government of God, but also it is the family of God into which we can be born. Now, the government of God was on earth, not the family of God. God is reproducing himself. He's creating the family of God in us. And we become his children when we have the Holy Spirit. And his Spirit witnesses with our spirit, the spirit that is in each of us, that we are the children of God. Now, Jesus came then to announce that change. Now notice after Christ had qualified, the very next verse, now after the John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news! It was good news he was announcing. It was to come. It hasn't come yet. And see, the time is fulfilled. What did he mean, the time is fulfilled? Why, he was not qualified. That's what he meant. The time was fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It had never been at hand until the next ruler had qualified. Do you get the meaning of these things, brethren, when you read them? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. That good news, that message is the gospel. Now that's not the interest in the world, is that? In this church. It just is not. Look over here in Galatians, the first chapter. And this only gets down to about 68 AD, a few years later. And Paul writing to the church in Galatians says, I marvel, verse 6, chapter 1, Galatians. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would come to you and pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what happened. And he said, if you preach any other gospel, you're under a double curse. And that's two verses. And yet, I have taught ministers in Ambassador College, and I've sent them out. We pay in the fee and put God's people under them. And they have misled those people, even as Satan misled his name. Look at who's trained at headquarters. Even right over the very throne of God, one of the angels who sings covers the very throne of God, the throne of the universe. He's sent out in the field now with some other angels put on him. But he was in, and he fought against God. He said, I'm the son of God, and I don't want anything that can happen. And he fought his angels. Getting that message announced. Not that in verse. God is only calling a few now. And he's calling only to get that young man. And Lord, let him get in that stuff done in the part that develops the character of the man so that he needs to be and rule Christ through a thousand years. When God does set his hand to save the whole world, you'll read it back. And then Matthew 25, beginning of verse 31. Back in 1933 for this job. And Brother Lyman has been faithful to him. And I started, God opened the kind of doors that would lead people in this kind of a country. Now, the United States is utterly unique, no other country like this. The gospel could not have started in any country like this one. It takes money to get it into the world, and when such money can only come from the lowly common people. And this is the only country where the common people could put in enough money to get this gospel out. And this is the only country where we would be allowed to take the money and use it in other countries to reach the people there. It never could have gone from any other country but this one. But other nations are not like this nation. I have a few figures I just ran over. Well, he's banging the Prime Minister Rommel was assassinated. 80% of the people there are illiterate. They can't read or write, have no education, couldn't understand the gospel message if you choose it. It leaves only 20% that have any education, and most of those have what we would call about a third or fourth grade education. That's the pitiful condition here, and that's poverty. Pakistan. And is that what he's actually done before? Also 80%. India, second largest nation in the world, 65% are illiterate, totally ignorant, totally illiterate. Indonesia, the fifth largest nation on earth, 125 million people, 65% are illiterate. Kenya, 70% are illiterate. Brazil, 100 million people, tied with Japan as next largest after Indonesia. 52% are illiterate and totally ignorant. Oh, 80%. Egypt, 70%. They're not like the United States. The only people they're going to get to with the gospel are some of those at the top. Now, it took us 40 years to get that announcement out where enough people have heard it in the United States and Canada to say that we have really gotten the gospel out in this country. We haven't reached every single human being. I don't think for a minute that God expects that. Well, something is unpopular that people don't like. But we have gotten the gospel out in this country. And it is pretty hard today to find anyone who hasn't heard the World Tomorrow program. His name was Arnold Edmondson, who was in town himself, and so he's on the air now. But we were not able to reach the other nations around the world, and the big population nations, like China, Russia, India, Japan, and nations of that sort. Now, they're altogether different. In the United States, we can buy time on radio. In most nations, you can't. The government controls them all. They have no freedom of press, no freedom of speech. And the government in those nations has closed the door to getting a message like this over. Now, I want you to understand this and get it, friends. We have worked where we could, but the doors were closed elsewhere, and we could not get the message over there, and that's what we're called for. That's what I live for. And finally, I found God was just opening doors for me to meet with kings and presidents and prime ministers and emperors. I got a call from our German office. Back here in the 1968, early in 1968, ex-King Leopold, and I'm now the ruling king, but still the king, nevertheless, of Belgium, had been among the lad, and he said he'd like to meet me. And he's not worried that he would like to meet me. He wanted to see the man who founded the college like that and produce that kind of duty, or at least attract that kind. So I went to meet him. And his right-hand man, who was an industrialist, pay their respects. Now, that is everything in a country like that. On Monday, it's such a honor to be in the earth. All my life, since I was 19 years old, I have been in the company of presidents of big corporations, chairmen of boards of the big banks of Wall Street, New York, and South and South Street, Chicago. Now, I received courteous treatment, just as I guess everybody does, and people like that, they live for these men. But it wasn't like I'm getting now, it was nothing special. It's different now, and I'm doing nothing to promote it. So I know it was God. God has given me that favor. Now why? I'm not going in there to do Birthday King of the President. I'm going in there because he's the head of the government, and the government has shut the door to getting this message, and if I get favor in their eyes, the door opens. Now do you see? I'm not trying to just convert these people. I'm not hobnobbing around with these changes before the, on the joy streak of some kind of my own. It's the hardest work I have ever had to do. And it's not easy. I know people that have never traveled say, oh boy, if I can just travel like Miss Armstrong. Let me tell you, we can think of it on the second trip. Not many can pass a gas, they just can't do it. Well, I have to. They say, well, how do you do it? Crossing all these time zones, sometimes 8 or 9 of them on one trip. And you have to readjust everything of your functioning of your body. To run in time. Instead of breakfast, maybe it's dinner in the evening, or the night before, or the night after, or something. Your whole body gets upset. And big corporations who send in on a trip like that won't let them do anything for 3 or 4 days after they get there because they say their mind won't be clear. I have to go right ahead. Sometimes I have actually arrived in Tokyo, Japan. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was 11 o'clock at night for me, and I had to wait until 8 o'clock their time, which is about 3 or 4 a.m. for me, and then attend a dinner and speak at a dinner. Well, I've been up nearly all night, and it's now in the morning, and my eyelids are very heavy, and I'm very, very deep. Football players have to get up for every game, and I have to be up and alert for every meter and every speech. Most people retire 25 years earlier than I am now. But I have to be doing that. Why, I need your prayers. I need you behind me, brother. That's the job, is to get this message as a witness, or for a witness to a nation. It doesn't mean I have to get into every nation. But it has to be enough that it does go practically around the world as a witness. And now I find, in this time of trouble, crime is increasing, marriage and divorce is increasing, families are breaking up, nations are being overthrown. That's the world to live in. Violence, violence everywhere. We got things that we probably like, the motion picture, television, radio, and these things we use and make a curse out of because we don't listen to them with a few. People say, well, we'll probably do away with all that in the millennium. Well, I don't know. Maybe instead of doing away with them, we'll put them to a right use and use them for children. I think some of those things we'll see when we get there. But I know we're preparing the way for the coming of Christ to bring the government of God back to this earth. And in the meantime, it's going to stay in God's church. Now, if you think the devil is right, you don't want any government, just go right on and finally wind up in the lake of fire. That's the way you want it. That's your choice. Some have already taken that step. And I don't know. I learned to love these people. I don't want to see and go the wrong direction. I just don't. But God made us out of mortal flesh so that we can be, as you read in Obadiah. If we're not going to go with God, if we won't go with Him and His glory, we will just ultimately be as though we had not been. We will be ashes under the soles of the feet of those who do not want to know God. So, it's continued. was getting him to do something. That's the message I wanted to bring to you today. I've had to scrap my notes that I intended. And Noble Foy, I had made out a new outline and preached the sermon. A big thing is someone, oh yes, I'm also, Mr. What can I say? Name of my own adopted son, Chapman. With every man he heard a new meeting this morning. And I said, the best sermon in the message of the Peter Tabernacle. And I got off my notes of the Peter Tabernacle last year. That's exactly the message I brought 2 years ago. You know what that makes me think of? I used to live on the Long Island, born and raised there. And the Long Island Railroad was not through the morning. And it was so notorious, no one had ever known the train to be on time. It was all the way. And one day the train came to on time. And the story goes, they got a brass band out and they had a celebration. Everybody was shouting for joy. The train is on time today. And you know what? I just tell you, it was yesterday's train, one day late. Well, just one or two things. I have many other festival sites to attend yet. Only that time to work with that, but I only had half an hour for my sermon, so that's why I got the message over anyway that I wanted to get to you. And I might say to you, now, my son Ernest Ed will be here on the final meeting with you. And I'm not president of Ambassador College any longer. Ernest Ed is president, not of the church, but of the college. And he still was the executive vice president of the church. But I'm still the chancellor and the chairman of the board of the college. And so I have some rule over my son's head, but I try to do that, like I say, all of them rule, in cooperation, in love, in kindness, in consideration, and every way. Now, we're all going to rule in constitution. That's the way we have to learn how to rule. That includes you. You all have something to rule over. A woman says, well, how can I do that? I don't have anything to rule over, Mr. Armstrong. Oh, yes, you do. You have a kitchen at home, you rule over that. You have children, you rule over them. How about a little child? Does the child have anything to rule over? Yes. A little milk, beer, and marl. She's not a rule over that at all, but she should. And like, she'll learn to be a good mother when she's still a little girl. And part of her rule is teaching her to do that. Little things like that. We all need to get closer to God. Brethren, we need to pray more. If this is a real thing, sure, then Satan can't touch it. Satan is broadcasting to every one of us. Every one of us has a spirit that is attuned to his wavelength. It's just because you're converted doesn't shut Satan off. He's still trying to get to you. And more, all more. But if we know the way of God, and we're praying to God, when Satan gets his message into our mind, we just cast it out because we recognize that's not God's message. I have said and preached that if you ever get even resentment and bitter, that you're hooked worse than if you're hooked on heroin. And still, I want to lead their people right into that sort of thing. I guess I just didn't believe what I said. Adam and Eve didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe a word. The people didn't believe what Jesus said. You know what I'm saying? But the biggest credibility gap that anyone ever suffered in history was Jesus Christ. There were only 120 that believed him and believed what he said when he was through 3.5 years. But 120 believed, and the 12 went on and preached. And I believe that I'm going to preach and I'm going to come back to him. And please keep up your prayers and pray more than you can.